Welcome, Faris. We're going to have a very quick intro to Salesforce because you've used it and you understand it very well, especially the tech side. So maybe you can begin by giving me like a very quick overview of what Salesforce does and what their business model is.
Well, Salesforce initially started out as a company that provided customer relationship management software, which is basically software that allows companies to track the productivity and improve the productivity of their sales resources. Anybody who's worked in sales, I've worked in sales, and one of the most difficult things to do is actually just keep a handle on your accounts. So enterprise sales is very complicated. You know, Amazon is a consumer-led company. So their sales process is basically, you know, you put ads and guys buy. But if you look at what's happening, like even if I use the JEDI contract they've just lost, that's a very good example of how complex a sale is. You know, Amazon's argument is that, you know, Trump interfered because Trump didn't like Bezos. That's how enterprise sales work. You have to figure out everybody who has something to do with this particular transaction and make sure that they view you favorably. So there are very many touch points in a company and you need to keep track of them. So for instance, if you're selling into a bank, you need to know that who's the decision maker and which pain point are you solving. So a company might decide to buy a DR solution, for instance, simply because that they want to be compliant with the risk with some regulation. So the person who's going to be dealing with that, the person who you're selling to is the risk person, but you also need to get the cooperation of tech. You also need to ensure they have budget. So it's very complicated and you need to have some way of tracking all these things. And you need follow-up emails need to be sent, presentation scheduled for, and you also need to ensure there's no overlap between your various sales resources. And Benioff had been working within Oracle, if I'm not wrong, and he saw that there was an opportunity to do this, but he also understood that the cloud was going to be a big thing. And in 1999, nobody thought the cloud was going to be a big thing because like the prevailing architecture at the time, like the cloud as a delivery model was not really there. There was only sort of one or two major cloud computing companies, and the primary one was LoudCloud. VMware had just launched. So like the tech that enabled the cloud as we know it today was just being formed at the time. But if you sort of go back and look at the delivery model for software, it was akin to manufacturing, and that created a plethora of issues. When you bought software, let's say you bought Microsoft Word or whichever tool you bought, that software shipped in a box, and the box was called a media kit. And the media kit showed up with like floppy disks or CD drives or DVD drives, whatever it was. It evolved over time before it moved to be an entirely cloud-driven engagement. You buy Microsoft Windows and you get a series of drives, and woe betide you if one of them fails. And then you'd get sort of like your license key over there. And if you look at your older PCs, you'll still see like a license key at the back of the computer. And it was because the internet was not built at the time. The infrastructure just didn't exist to allow for a cloud delivery model. The data centers didn't exist. The bandwidth was not there. The technology was not yet mature enough to sort of support this model. But, you know, as the internet started taking off, in the US, you had a company like TCI, but I think it was in 1992 or 1993, decided that, look, we are going to double down on the internet and we need to have fat pipes. And everyone started investing heavily in connectivity. People started building data centers. And the thing that Bezos, for instance, figured out is when you looked at the growth rate of the internet, it was insanely high. I think in his case, it was around 2,400% per annum when he looked at it in 1995, and that's what triggered him to start Amazon. When you looked at that growth rate, you could make the arguments that over the next X years, if I double down on this path, I will eventually win. The technology will eventually catch up. And that's the bet Benioff made. And the thing about the product he chose, the CRM, was that the CRM particularly lended itself to a distributed model. Because if you're, say, let me use VMware, because I know VMware is a huge customer of Salesforce. They use Salesforce for the entire partnership portal and to manage the entire channel. You'd have salespeople in like 10 different territories. And the software was very clunky and somebody needed to show up at the office to use it. Salesforce was cloud-driven. So long as you had an internet connection, you could use it. The real secret sauce that Salesforce had was distribution. They figured out that if you make it easy for somebody to sign up for your software platform, then you've won because, you know, I worked in distribution, like in actual IT distribution for 3 years, and I used to do VMware distribution. And whenever somebody bought a license, we had to ship a media kit because they need to ship this actual DVD for the client to pay for a virtual license. Like the license is issued via email, but you need to sort of get this DVD to get the software. One of the things about this is you can't control the end user environment, but the web allows you to do that because the web is a standardized platform. Let's use the example of Microsoft Office. When Microsoft sells you Office, at the time they needed to have an enterprise contract, especially with the larger companies. But then you have a problem, like you find you have a bug in Windows and you can't fix Windows because the customer is using a particular, like using Windows 95, and then you sort of, they start the install Office 97, they don't run the service pack, and all these things just used to cause, and it was complete chaos. But that's not a problem Salesforce has because it upgrades it and sort of everyone is upgraded with it. It's like Gmail. The version of Gmail used in 2004 and today are completely different. And so that got rid of a huge support component for them, but it also made it easier to acquire customers. And it also was a subscription service. Now, today, 21 years after Salesforce launched, I think yesterday, Microsoft announced that now Windows is a service. Now you can lease a virtual machine from Microsoft to run a controlled Windows environment. They're finally catching on. And that the lower support costs, the direct delivery model, the direct interaction with the customer, because you know, like Microsoft and all these other guys had to go through a channel. So you had to find a distributor and go to the distributor. The distributor gets a system integrator reseller, then the reseller gets to the customer. So granted, Salesforce still has that model, but they're not dependent on it. They have direct reach to the customer. They've got very high customer, they've got very low customer churn, very relatively lower customer acquisition costs compared to the traditional software vendors. So if you look at the amount of effort an Oracle, like we've got Salesforce customers in the country. We don't have any Salesforce staff in the country, in Kenya. But Oracle like has a massive tower in Kenya and they have all these people on the ground. But you know, customer acquisition costs for Salesforce went dramatically down. Lifetime value of the customer went up because something else that people missed is this traditional software in a box model. Whenever one of the dependencies would break, you might lose the customer. So as an example, a company is running, like I remember a particular use case locally. This client was running a particular version of SAP. Then the environment was no longer supported, like 12, 13 years ago. But a couple of things changed. And at that point, they reviewed the need for the application. When they reviewed the need for the application because of this compatibility issue, these friction points, you give the customer an opportunity to review their purchasing decision. But with Salesforce, you don't have that. With Gmail, you don't have that. With Office 365, you don't have that. So it just changed. Once somebody moved to Salesforce, Microsoft didn't have the same benefits. Oracle didn't have the same benefits. And it took them some time, but they're finally caught on. And now you look at Microsoft, the delivery model is purely as a service. They're moving to that and Oracle as well. And so even VMware right now is in the middle of a transition from being a traditional software license firm to being a complete software as a service vendor, as is Adobe. And I think the primary trigger was Salesforce. The bet was internet connectivity will keep getting better. Data center infrastructure will keep getting better and technology will keep getting better. And once these things improve, you're the one who has figured out the model and you're the expert in this new future technology. And that's ended up being completely correct. Like the bet has paid off. And with the money that they managed to get from like the traditional model, they have been expanding into adjacencies, data management, collaboration. So both like Quip and Slack are direct competitors to Microsoft with Teams and Office 365, like the productivity side, because Quip is sort of like a collaboration tool that integrates with Salesforce. They've got a service desk for customer management. So they help companies manage the entire life cycle of the customer from acquisition to normal transaction. So you get the customer, you onboard them, then you have a service desk that deals with any issues they have. And then you also have a Salesforce that sort of any additional purchases you can get visibility into them and eventual exit. So it's a complete solution that they have.
The question I wanted to ask also is, what's their competitive advantage? What exactly are their competitive strengths as a company?
In what sense?
In the sense of network effects, let's say developers being on the platform and making the product better at the same time, like they're building apps on top of Salesforce, the acquisitions.
So right now, they have a bunch of things. I mean, the amount of talent at Salesforce should not be underestimated. The current CEO is a guy called Brett Taylor, who used to be, I think he was senior at Google. And then, yeah, he was at Google actually, because the guy, Kevin Gibbs, who I mentioned, Kevin Gibbs was head of engineering at Google. He's the one who created App Engine. App Engine is one of the largest platform as a service vendors globally. He's now the CEO of Quip. Brett Taylor was also CTO at Facebook. He's COO at Salesforce. Their stock price is very high relative to their revenues. So that gives them a lot of dry power to basically acquire companies using their stock. So they are in a very good position, and there are quite a number of developers who are building on their platform. And they've also been able to make some very strategic acquisitions, the biggest of which is MuleSoft, because everyone used to use Mule. When it comes to orchestration, they were leading. I think Oracle has a product. TIBCO does this, and this Oracle also has like an equivalent product. I'll look it up and send it to you. But that sort of, when it comes to integration, because you see, the thing is, Salesforce doesn't work in isolation. One of the key drivers of one of the things that makes systems work is integration and automation, and Mule does that. So for instance, if you use Office 365, you want Office 365 to be able to integrate with your CRM, but at the same time, you want your CRM to integrate with your billing system for people who, like, if you're doing a software as a service subscription, you need to be able to follow up. And these are disparate systems. So Mule acts as a glue to all these disparate systems. Yeah, and so they have a huge advantage when it comes to this. And I have used Mule at some point. Like, I was using when I was running a small cloud computing company to integrate all my systems. So my orchestration system to like the core billing system, just to make sure everything is working in sync.
When you talk to their customers, what do they say about the product, Salesforce, and compared to competitors? And also, will competitors also be able to catch up to Salesforce?
The one thing everyone says is that it's expensive. So at the same time, nobody can replace Salesforce because they have just such deep integration. I'm giving an example. I was running an SME 2 years ago, and I decided to use Salesforce as my CRM. And just the richness in functionality that it had, I was blown away. So you find it was like, I think it was like $100 per seat per month. And you know, with your smalls. But you know, immediately somebody put in a deal into Salesforce, I had full visibility. I could tell what the likelihood that it could close is, how far I am away from hitting my targets. It just made everything better. So customers love it. And their service is very, very good, to the extent that they have custom clouds for the larger enterprises. And that's what I was saying, like, if I try and log in, I think also Amazon Web Services uses them. Many of these customers, companies that have channel programs, use Salesforce to manage their channel. So like with VMware, all the resellers, you get a login, and you get that login, and it's a Salesforce, it's a force.com domain. And then they're also moving into verticals, like they're building tools for financial services and other industries. And so they're just that much better than everyone else in the space at the moment.
Thank you so much also, like, for all that you've shared so far. So I wanted to say, like, in conclusion, from all that you've learned from your direct usage of the product and implementation of it with clients, but also at the same time, your readings from the books and from meeting some of these executives, what have you learned from all these that you can share as concluding remarks?
You know, I've used Salesforce for some time. I've read the books. I admire that company greatly. And it's simply because, you know, people talk about long-term bets. Mm-hmm. There's sort of like three long-term bets that I'd put at the same level. One, sort of like how Amazon approaches things like AWS. When Amazon started building AWS, it seemed like a dumb idea. And it was so futuristic that they never really got competition. Like, it was an accident of history that AWS never got any competition for close to, I think it was 8 years before Microsoft. Because both Microsoft and Google at the time thought platform as a service would win. So they just ignored it. And then, you know, in 2013, thereabouts, the revenue starts really ticking off. And that's when they're like, wow, there's something here. The second is the iPad, because it was a very interesting video. You know, Steve Jobs was interviewed in 2010, just before he died. A year before he died, and you're talking about the iPad, and he's like, this is the future of computing. And he's like, and guys were saying, like, but you know, the processor is not that good. And he's like, look, that's something that will be sold over time. And true to form, close to a decade later, the iPad outperforms the average Intel-based PC. And so it's just that long-term, this is, and it's the same thing with Salesforce. Like, it took 20 years, but he was right. People want the application. And the core thing about Salesforce is they understood that the user wants the app. The user doesn't want Amazon, like the infrastructure. The user doesn't want HP, the server vendor. The user doesn't want Google Compute, the platform as a service vendor, Kubernetes. The user wants the application, and they figured that out. And if I can package this thing and make it as easy and convenient to use, people will pay us. And they have succeeded in that regard.
That's a good way to close. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.